That was Indiana Lieutenant Governor Eric Holcomb, along with John Crane. He was at Emmy's in Avon for a last-second stop here on the campaign trail. It is Election Eve. Tomorrow, people go and cast their vote, unless you're one of the, well, I guess now hundreds of thousands who have already done so. And, well, I was thinking, you know, I was putting together the Election Eve show and thinking, who would be the appropriate people to have on, because it's been such a wonderful election year for me, dating all the way back to, well, really May 2nd, 2016 and going forward. Now, it's been so great. I was thinking, how could we wrap up the show? And I thought, when I was putting the show together, I said, I got to have a great guest, and then I got to have a whole lot of fun. So the great guest was Holcomb, and now it's time to have a whole lot of fun with Greg Lenz, Chris Spangle of the We Are Libertarians crew. Greg?
Rob, thanks for having us back, and I'd like to thank the potential next governor of Indiana for opening for us. That's what he traditionally does when we hit the comedy circuit.
He insults us and then expects us to sit here and take it.
You know, it's been a great year for me, hasn't it? I mean, it's like when the Cubs, Game 7 of the World Series.
That's true. The Cubs put you over the top.
I was sitting there watching the game thinking, I don't want this to end. You know, Game 7 has to end at some point. I was thinking, could we just keep playing, because it's been such a great year? I feel the same way about the election.
You know,
it's been so good for me.
When you need to beat 108-year curse, you go to a kid from Indiana University like Schwarber.
Great game.
Look, I'm usually not a Chicago fan, but I do feel I am happy for you. It's a great victory. Even though I'm not a fan of Chicago sports fans, I once actually unfriended Michael O'Brien, the county Republican chair, because he talked about the Bears too much. And I was just like, listen, you can be a Bears fan or a Republican on my Facebook wall, but you can't
be both. So we've had our guests. We've had the serious conversation with Holcomb. And now you guys are going to help me, because you hate everyone. That's what I love about you guys. You really hate everyone.
I love Trump.
You love Trump.
I hate Trump.
Which you balance each other out. But you guys even hate the libertarians, right?
Bill Weld, for sure.
Yes, Bill Weld is on my list.
New Democrat, former libertarian vice presidential nominee, Bill Weld.
Yeah, he's really something.
So explain again, people have heard the show, know you guys, but maybe somebody hearing for the first time, because we're everywhere now. SoundCloud, iTunes, we're
finally all
over the place. We're so big now. What are We Are Libertarians?
Took the advice I gave him 2 years ago, Greg.
That's a quick turnaround to make something great again.
It's very quick. We were right
on it.
Well,
it's hard to do that when you've got such a tiny board.
Now, before we get into that, what is We Are Libertarians?
All right. We Are Libertarians is our tagline is all the irreverence modern politics deserves. And we are a podcast, a website, a way of life, a Facebook page that is just exploding.
Right. You're very popular.
Very popular.
We are the libertarians your party warned you about.
People come up to us all the time and they say, Chris, Greg, why are you so popular? And I just say, I don't know, but it's fantastic.
So you guys mock everyone. Everyone, you're an equal opportunity offender.
Sure.
You bring a humorous look to politics.
Yeah, we bring a libertarian look to politics, also humorous. How professional. And we don't hate everyone. We like a lot of people. Today, I'm liking the political establishment of Indiana, for instance. And I complimented them on my Facebook.
You did.
But tomorrow, I may
so
feel
brave.
Differently. Yeah, I'm a little bipolar in that way. But I think to be an independent-minded person in politics, you've got to do a couple things. You've got to recognize that there are good things in politics, and you've got to recognize that there are bad things in politics. And you've also got to have fun with it, because if you take all of this so seriously, then it drives you crazy, it drives your friends crazy, it drives your significant others crazy. And it is important. Who you vote for tomorrow will decide whether or not people in Syria die or live, or if people here in America die or live. So it is important, and you should be civically minded. But at the same time, you don't have to be so uptight.
It's soul-crushing if you take it as... I mean, you turn into Brent Hume. Like, you just become so serious
Droopy
and morose
faced.
That you... There is, nothing can make you happy. It is all dark skies.
Now
and
that
it's
Tucker
nothing,
Carlson's
yeah,
taking
exactly.
over,
like,
I'm going to finally
we try to be
suicide.
The sunny side up of, you know, of political analysis, because being libertarian frees you from... We attack our own people.
Oh, yeah.
We attack rhinos like Bill Weld. We
Mark
attack,
Warner.
We attack felonious murderers like Hillary Clinton.
Yep. Donald Trump, you know.
Well, okay, so let's get to the meat and potatoes of this, okay? Because tomorrow the nation is going to go vote. I can assure you that in Lincoln Ford, there will be no voter fraud, as I am the clerk. I'll be making sure
really?
Identification is properly given.
I'm going to come and make accusations. Kick back, Kendall.
I'm going to
walk in.
Handing
out free Cokes from McDonald's.
In my Hillary Clinton mask and start changing votes yep. right in front of you. And there's nothing you can do about it.
Okay, so let's start there because polling's come out as we head into Friday. And I told somebody this today because people keep coming up to me going, what are you going to do on election night? And I've said, well, one of two things is going to happen. I'm either going to jump off a tall building or I'm going to look at a bunch of people and go, na-na-na-na-na, eat it.
What are you
really
looking
hoping?
That's what I want. Because people have said, somebody from Holcomb's team today said, I love your social media. You're so great. And
did they call you terrific?
And they did not call me terrific. They
okay. Why
short
are
of
you
that.
So great?
Because I tell it how it is.
Right.
I'm a truth teller. Whether it's
even when you're being called homeless and that you don't pay your utility bills by town council members, you still stick to the facts.
I've had a good string going the last couple of years. Yeah, last year it was I contribute nothing and I'm homeless. This year it was I don't pay a water and sewer bill.
What'll next year be?
I don't know. All right.
Well,
so
what are we going to make up, Greg?
Are we going to have a President Trumpster at Tuesday night, or is it going to be President Hillary?
I think it's too close to tell, and yeah. right now the only way to tell is to look at Virginia is going to be a really good litmus test. Chesterfield County is a more rural, suburban county in Virginia, and then there's Fairfax County, which is the D.C. suburbs. If Trump gets 55% in Chesterfield County in Virginia, he carries Virginia, he probably wins North Carolina, and then carries Ohio, Iowa, and Florida, the states he needs.
Yeah.
In a very close election.
Yeah, I think it's too close to tell. I mean, it was a runaway victory for Clinton 2 weeks ago after that last debate, which, you know, I thought was just such a missed opportunity for him.
Did you think he did bad?
I did.
I thought he did great.
No, it wasn't good at all.
If you're a policy wonk and someone that takes politics seriously, he did as bad as you could probably do. If you just like to enjoy the chaos, he did well.
But isn't what the voter, the average voter, is someone who likes the chaos?
No, I think at that point he was so damaged. But I think that the effect of the Comey announcement and the increasing specter of FBI investigations on two fronts,
the exposure of a global crime syndicate,
right? The WikiLeaks that are coming out, it just really looked. It makes people go, do we really want to relive the '90s that were so contentious that led to 2000? And I think that will drive a lot of, like Mike Pence said, it drives a lot of people back home. And I think, you know, the libertarians have had such a great year and got so much press early on and still are getting a lot of press. And I'm not
for the wrong reasons.
Well, yeah.
For endorsing Hillary.
Yeah. we'll talk about that later. But I think that has an effect. And even in my libertarian circles, people go, like, maybe Alex Jones was right.
We need a revolution in this country.
This crazy global,
rise up.
I mean, this global conspiracy to, you know, they read it in the Podesta emails, and then all of a sudden, like, the spooky, what was the thing that came out? The spirit seance thing. Like, just all this weird, bizarre stuff that it really comes down to, if the narrative is about Clinton, that's bad for Clinton. If it's about Trump, it's bad for Trump. You know, and he's been very disciplined the last couple weeks. There was a point.
It's been boring.
Well, yeah, there was a point. Less teleprompter Trump, teleprompter Trump, you hate, but that's what's going to win him this election, because there's a point where Clinton, the day after the Comey announcement, trotted out Machado, the former beauty contestant, trying to bait him into a tweet or a statement or whatever. And he didn't.
Did they steal his social media devices from him?
If I'm her, I did. Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think so. I mean, this is one of the things. He does make mistakes. He can be baited. But when push comes to shove, I think one of the good things about his lack of real framework and principles is that he's adaptable to any situation.
Right.
And he's ultimately a pragmatist.
Yeah. Okay, so you guys are the libertarian guys. Are you disappointed in Johnson? Because you love Johnson.
No.
Why'd you got to put it that way? Go ahead.
I like Gary Johnson as an individual.
Well, I should point out, this is my Matt as a host. I'm looking at Spangle when I said that. I should be clear to who I'm talking to.
Sure.
Spangle, you go ahead.
Because you wanted McAfee, right? You were with me. You thought McAfee would be
McAfee,
a great choice.
Right.
I mean, Spangle started a late push to get me nominated at the convention.
Right.
And I'm shocked it didn't catch on.
Yeah. I'm not... I think there are missed opportunities, absolutely. I think anybody who looks at any one of these three parties thinks that way as well. I think if you're a Democrat, you're sitting there looking at the future Nixon going, how did we nominate this woman? How did we nominate the guy who is, you know, promoting sexual assault to Billy Bush, and then women are coming out. You know, how do we get to this point? I think Gary Johnson still is the only person on the ballot not facing investigations. He's not facing sexual assault charges.
He's too boring.
He's just too boring. He is qualified to do the job. I think that he did have some strategic mistakes. I think that once the polls started to come out, now you believe that the media is all a conspiracy,
oh,
right?
Yeah,
it's all rigged.
Oh, I think
pro
so.
Clinton, right?
Except for me, I'm great.
So the second that it looked like Gary Johnson was pulling more from Clinton and the left, all of the left blogs like HuffPo, Mediaite, all these, they all started churning out these stories about his gaffes, and he did himself no favors. There's no doubt about that. But it doesn't change the fact that the guy is a two-term New Mexican governor. This is an incredibly important opportunity for the Libertarians, because if he hits 5%, he has the chance of getting ballot access for the Libertarian Party in over a dozen states.
And money.
And public financing. And so,
which is odd for Libertarians.
Right.
You guys want the public financing.
Pay for it yourself.
Absolutely. So it's when you check that little $3 box on your tax return. So, you know, people who say, "Oh well, we're a two-party system. We're not there yet." People like your father, who we'll discuss later.
Spangle got into a fight with my father on social media.
We're gonna have a fist fight. He called me a seventh grader.
Yeah.
So.
Well, okay. So let's.
But let me finish my point. The vote tomorrow is incredibly important because we're a red state. It's going Trump, and so if you're on the fence and you don't know who to vote for, give your vote to Gary Johnson, because that ensures the growth of that third option that people are so desperate for. And no, Gary Johnson hasn't been the perfect candidate in a cycle of candidates that aren't perfect, but he still is a responsible choice, a sane choice, when the other three aren't, and it gives us the opportunity to really
find a credentialed executive in a race without one.
Yeah, okay, so let's move on to the second race on the ballot. Todd Young, who you guys love to mock.
Oh, absolutely.
Us?
I would put him in a locker in a
just
heartbeat.
Just us, Todd?
He said I did a great job. I mean,
sure.
I bet he did.
Yeah, right, because he's a suck-up.
I mean, he really wanted to be on the show twice.
It's because before the debate, Spangle told his campaign manager I had 73 memes ready to go, and he went ghost white.
He did.
So for those who don't know, I worked for Marlon Stutzman during the primary, and I felt, just candidly, I've said this, I won't back down from it, didn't think Todd Young should have ever been on the ballot. Didn't get the required signatures.
Well, you have to get 500 Republicans to actually want you in Lake County, and he was unable to clear that hurdle.
Right. So he manipulated the system, as we talked about.
Absolutely.
And was
Crooked Todd.
Put on the ballot.
And then goes out and decries, you know, Evan Biden shouldn't be on the ballot.
Yeah,
okay.
But I will say this. I like Todd Young's campaign manager, Trevor Foudy.
Absolutely.
Good
Very
guy.
Nice guy.
And I like Foudy because Foudy will cut your head off. Not
sure.
Literally, but no nonsense. And Evan Bayh gets in the race, and I actually met with Foudy the day we were actually talking about my interview with Todd, to set up our interview with Todd, and it was the day after Bayh had declared. He was not worried, wasn't panicking, wasn't upset, and they have gone in, and they have just torn down the Bayh machine to the point where this poll came out on Friday from Howie that shows Young's in the lead.
I haven't, 5-point lead. Yeah, I haven't voted in a Republican primary since 2004. And I have gotten every single day in my mailbox for at least a month an anti-Bayh mailer piece from the state party, from Todd Young's
Mark
campaign.
Mark Warner sending you anti...
And it is curious to me, like, that the state party is driving down Evan Bayh's name ID to such an incredible expense.
Or telling the truth about him.
But yeah, absolutely. I totally agree on that.
Like, that's
but
the real
criticism. They've also not sent me anything about Holcomb, which is sort of like... You could have had the same effect in your gubernatorial race, so that's a curious choice that I have to grill Warner about. But Evan
Mark
Bayh,
Warner's on the ground floor making all these decisions, by the way.
Yes. Evan Bayh
Puppet
was
master.
Always vulnerable, and he was. I would love to be a fly on the wall as to how that deal went down with Barron Hill and what he got out of it to drop out. But Evan
Maybe
Bayh,
a condo.
Yeah. We've got a lovely condo, never been stayed in, on the north side of Indianapolis. Evan Bayh was always vulnerable. Yes, he had $10 million when he started this race, but at the same time, he had some incredible dirt on him, and it's been a long time since he was a popular governor.
Right.
And, you know, there's been a lot of cycles, and I didn't think the residency thing would stick because I remember going to, you know, Marvin Scott's headquarters in 2004 with all the residency mailers and shirts and everything that they had tying him to Hillary Clinton and everything. And that didn't, but let, have let an
me,
impact.
Let me ask this.
Because man, it worked this time.
Did Bai get... I've said this from the beginning. I thought Bai got really bad advice that he ran a campaign like it was 1996 and not 2016.
Yeah.
It's very obvious you don't live here. And that doesn't disqualify you because Dan Coats didn't live here either. It's very obvious, while maybe not technically, you are a lobbyist. It can be proven. The fact
he's a consultant.
It's so obvious.
He put on his Facebook page, taking my son, showing him Indiana, showing him his roots. Like, the kid clearly had never been to Indiana and needed to be shown.
The internet is out there, and people don't care. They're ideologically driven, and it would have been very easy for Evan Bai to come out and say, you know what? Yeah, I did leave Indiana. I took a job to provide for my family. I took a job to advocate for good public policy. I left. I came back. I'm here to serve Hoosiers, which is where my heart's always been.
Well, that's how he left his Senate seat, was he wanted to get out of the madness, and he was going to be moderate and above the fray
in
and
the
higher
gridlock,
than. And then, oops, I'm going to go run in a state I don't live in and I don't know my address. But I mean, fact check that.
But the lying. I mean, when Indy
don't
Star
buy
turns
Evan's
on
lies.
You, when Indy Star turns on
he
you.
He lied about lying in his commercial where he says, my lobbyist says I was. My opponent says I wasn't a lobbyist. That's not true. Yeah, it is true. And I think that these guys, the problem for all of these incumbents is that the voting public is more sensitive to, are you one of us now than ever before?
Right, because of the Trumpster.
Right. Well, and you look at Dick Lugar losing. Lugar here is a very thoughtful guy, well-liked by a lot of people. But at the same time, I've been in politics for over 10 years now as a reporter, as a politico, at every different level. And I've seen every major political figure in this state, including Obama, Hillary, George W. Bush. I have never seen Dick Lugar in person. And that's one of the reasons
he's
he lost. Well, it's not just that he's old. He also... We are growing in a sense in this nation that there are them and us. And they, even somebody like Dick Lugar or Evan Bai, who seems to be very level-headed, very independent-minded, those guys are one of them. And if you're part of the system, it doesn't matter how thoughtful or even-minded you are. If you're not being touched and felt by the people of your state, you're going to lose.
And level-headedness and rationality is dead in American politics.
Yeah.
We need polarizing.
Yeah.
We thrive when we can't wait to consume
it. We need McAfee.
He could make the Libertarian Party great again.
We need
McAfee. Gerrymandering has changed the politics forever.
There just isn't a big group of undecideds anymore.
I will not say who I voted, and I've kept my pledge on this, that I will. I have been partisan on one race. That was the Trumpster very early on. But I think I've done a great job. I've interviewed Greg. I've interviewed Glenda Ritz.
Mike Pence before he left to make America great again?
Yeah, you know, that's another story. So many emotions.
November 9th stories.
Yeah, it's a story. But I will say this. I voted based on who I wanted to vote on Donald Trump's Supreme Court nominees. Was that a bad philosophy on the Senate? Because I really didn't like either guy.
No, a lot of people in America, that is, some new polling just came out by Gallup that shows that the economy and then Supreme Court justices are two of the largest factors driving voting decisions.
Yeah.
And Hillary's willingness to be above the law.
It is amazing to me to watch the World Series and to see Trump hitting Hillary on her corruption, which the media is doing for him, instead of running ads for the last month, mailers, ads, any kind of media saying the Supreme Court is in balance. That would have done two things. That would have helped him win the election by giving a positive vision for what he believes in when so few people realize or understand what he actually wants to do. Secondly, it also would have helped him with the Republican Party by helping these down-ballot races like Todd Young.
See, the super PACs are doing that for him.
Right.
That's why you're not seeing it from Trump, that's the role the Republican Party's playing.
Oh, okay, so you guys believe the president, too close to call, Trump will win Indiana easily, though, right?
Without a doubt.
What about Bai and Young? I said on the show yesterday, here's what a truth teller I am. I said yesterday on the show, Young's going to win by 5, and the poll comes out today, and he's up by 5.
That's because you had insider knowledge, and you're crooked.
Yeah.
There's one that shows he's up five.
If Bai loses, his political career is done, which is fine because he's now rich.
He'll go right back to his consulting gig in Arlington, Virginia.
I think there's a great chance that Trump is going to win. I think that Hillary's problems have down-ballot effects that are horrendous for Democrats. So, and I think it's going to carry the Republicans. I think they will keep the Senate. They may.
They're going to keep
the House.
Let's
just stay on the Senate right now.
Yeah,
Bai and Young.
Who are we taking? Young's going to win.
Young's going to win.
Okay, all right. Would you? This is for Spangle because I know you would. Would you ever vote for a Republican again?
Oh, yeah. If Rand Paul were running and he were the nominee, I'd vote for Rand Paul as president
in a heartbeat.
Mike Lee,
Justin Amash.
Okay, so you would.
If let's say Rob Kendall,
yeah.
Evan Bayh, and yeah. the Libertarian candidate were on my ballot, yeah. I would vote for
Well,
Rob
and
Kendall.
We want to let everybody know, if I am ever silly enough to run for public office again, I've already said Linz and Spangle Incorporated are going to be directors of media.
Yeah, so here's the funny thing. When I left the Republican Party in 2000 and...
And Shabazz is going to be running the campaign, so look out.
So in 2007, I won't work for him. In 2007, I had never voted for anyone but a Republican ever up until that point. Once I became a Libertarian and I ran the Libertarian Party of Indiana for 4 years as the executive director... I have voted in every election for Republican, Libertarian, and Democrat.
Yeah.
And an independent in one race.
And you voted for Linz last year for mayor.
Yeah, I wrote in Greg Linz last year for Indianapolis mayor. So
this close.
Yeah, I think that
struck fear in the heart of Chuck Brewer.
Well, you may see me as
almost,
a rabid.
You almost got more votes than Brewer.
Right. Well, you may see me as a rabid partisan. I'm far less partisan than I was as a Republican.
Okay, again, our guest, Greg Linz, Chris Spangle from We Are Libertarians. Wrapping up here, we'll end this portion where the show started. The governor's race, Holcomb and his crew taking on Greg and the Democrats, and you got Rex Bell. By the way, we really, really, really want to wish Rex all the best.
Yeah, Rex had an incident. He had a mild stroke, and I know that that's a scary word, but it was a very mild stroke, and he was able to get to the hospital in time, and no permanent damage, 100% mentally there. He you know, little rehab to go through, but he's doing great.
We love Rex.
And I just have to publicly thank the Republicans and Democrats at all different levels who've reached out to Rex, including his two opponents, including on Friday, the Republican Party and the Democratic Party and his opponents at every level, making sure that he was able to get his ballot while in the hospital. I mean,
very classy,
and it makes you really appreciate those guys.
Okay, so you've got the three of them up there. You've got a poll that came out Friday that shows the race tied 42-42, 11 undecided, which would give Rex what, 6%? No, 5%.
Mm-hmm.
Who takes this? I honestly have no idea.
Eric yeah. Holcomb by 2 points.
What do you think?
I think that at this point,
he seemed pretty confident today.
Yeah. I mean, of course, when you always seem confident, Libertarians seem confident tonight. but I think that John Gregg still has the advantage. And I think that it's really going to matter a lot in these closing hours of a campaign what happens in the presidential race. And if Trump wins Indiana by a large margin and that puts Todd Young over the top, that can have down ballot straight ticket voting effects for Eric Holcomb, and that could put him over the top. But if I were a betting man, I'd put my money on John Gregg at this point.
You're going with Gregg. Mm-hmm.
I don't see how there's going to be, like, you know how there were Obama Mitch voters? I don't think there are going to be Trump Gregg voters in the numbers
you
large
don't think
enough to
Carrier
win.
Guy might look at Trump and say he's going to help me, and Pence let Carrier go to Mexico, and so I'm going to vote for Gregg and Trump?
I just don't think people have that much awareness of the race, and I think John Gregg has a much higher name ID, and I don't think that Holcomb and his campaign and the state Republicans did a good enough job of building name ID for Eric Holcomb and explaining who he is, and they're going to end up punishing him for the sins of Mike Pence.
Yeah, how did he not cling to Daniels like grim death from the day he got in?
It's a curious thing to me because
I don't think Mitch would allow it, given his role at a state university dependent upon funds.
Well, I don't think that Mitch would campaign, but I think if Pence can try and fake that he is a part of the Mitch legacy... Eric Holcomb, I mean, Eric Holcomb was a guy that would invite the Libertarian state chair and myself to his office when he was chief of staff for Mitch and say, what are you as a party thinking? What are the issues that you care about? And would take, you know, policy ideas from our party. And I think that that is the kind of stuff that Eric Holcomb hasn't told that story. He hasn't explained to the voters why he was such a crucial piece of Mitch Daniels' success.
Well, and I said this on Wednesday, I will stay with it on election eve. I'm going to go with Spangle. I'm going to say 51-49.
Yeah.
Greg, maybe 50.5, 49.5.
I'm going 52. I'd say, because I think Rex gets 4 minimum.
Easily minimum, yeah.
4%.
Well, and I was
going to have an effect.
We'll close with this because you are the We Are Libertarians. How important is it for the Libertarians in this state to better what they did in 2012? given the climate?
I mean, it is important. The worst case for libertarians is a tight race, because then people who are, you know, I'm more of a left libertarian, Greg's more of a right libertarian, so you start to float back to
right.
those cores that you identify with.
Anything but the other person.
Right, because, you know, a left libertarian will look at it and go, man, I really got to make sure that Pence's legacy in Indiana has stopped. I'm voting in this race. I'm scratching. So we're not going to see the gains that we've seen in every gubernatorial race since ballot access. We've doubled our percentage. I don't think we're going to see 8%, even though Rex has worked really hard because it is so close. But I don't think that that's terribly important. I think that this has been a great cycle for libertarians, and you know,
Rex is running an amazing campaign.
Yeah,
well, and Rex is a great candidate.
A great candidate, and running a full time business. Meanwhile,
and yeah. I will say this: you guys will be very proud of me. I kept up my long standing streak of voting for at least one libertarian in every. What do they call this?
Election?
Many people on the ballot. Like in a town council race, you're not voting for a libertarian.
Right.
I kept the streak going. I always try to make an effort for that. Though I've never voted for a Democrat, so I'm not as pure as Spangle in terms of...
If there were ever a Democrat worth voting for, I'd vote for a Democrat.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I got... okay.
Hyper-partisan Rob.
That's right, yes. Okay, so we will close with this, because this is the last thing people will hear before, you know, maybe they go vote. Maybe this is the last election. They're getting up at 6 a.m. They're going to vote. They're going to see me in Lincoln 4.
With our words ringing in their ears.
That's right. So, okay. So, Spangle's saying Trumpster in Indiana, Trumpster nationally or Clinton?
Man, it's so close, but the momentum is definitely on Trump's side. Yeah. There is no doubt about it.
I'm
going to
be brutal to you if Trump wins.
Brutal. That's fine, because I will commit suicide. I think that people look at an election and they go corrupt or crazy, and in every American,
why not both?
Right.
Why UPUI?
In every American election, when corrupt or crazy is on the ballot, corrupt wins. Even though the momentum is moving with Trump, and even though people hate the Clintons, I still think Hillary will beat Donald Trump.
So you're going Clinton, Young, Greg.
Yes.
Oh, but in Indiana will be Trump, Trump, Young, Greg.
Yeah, okay. I think he'll take it by 5 or 6 points.
Trump. In North Carolina, in the early voting, the African-American vote's down 6% compared to where it was in 2012.
North Carolina floors me, because I spent a lot of time there. Those people are not voting for Hillary Clinton.
No. I know.
They're
it's
Trump
amazing.
People.
No, it's the same thing phenomenon that's been going on since the beginning. Everyone likes to talk about the awful choices they have, and then when no one's watching, they're like, yeah, but I'm voting for Donald Trump. I hate Hillary.
Well, yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of people who are not, and that's the problem with this election. Everybody's going into the election booth going, yeah, my team sucks. But I'll hold my nose.
It's a reverse Hawthorne effect. Hawthorne effect in polling is where people would say back in the 70s and 80s that they supported the black candidate, but then they'd always vote white. This is, I don't support Donald Trump, and then they pull the lever for him on election day.
Okay, so you're going Trump in Indiana.
Yeah, Trump in Indiana.
Trump overall.
Oh, yeah.
Young.
Todd Young.
And Holcomb.
And Holcomb.
Okay, there we go.
Holcomb by two.
Scumbag Republican.
Great.
No, I'm not going to vote for all of them. Just saying that's what I believe is going to happen.
Did you guys early vote?
No,
you vote on election day.
No, like an American.
Okay,
not
felons can't vote.
I have to.
I'm not a commie.
Me and
bastard.
Hillary can't vote.
I have to vote early. I have to work the poll on election day. I have to serve the public. What am I supposed to do?
So you can see him at PT's. We're working the poll.
Guys, thank you. And again, if people are curious about We Are Libertarians, where can they learn about it?
WeAreLibertarians.com or in any podcatcher. We're on any platform. Just Google We Are Libertarians.
If you
we
see someone being chastised for being sophomoric online, it's probably us. Just go where that is.
We're the people that everybody loves to watch and nobody likes to admit it.
Yeah, they're so wonderful. And it's really great. Guys, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for having us on.
Hey, don't forget, if you missed any part of today's show, whether you missed the interview with Eric Holcomb and John Crane, or the commentary from the We Are Libertarians crew, you can check out the podcast anytime you want. We're on SoundCloud and iTunes now. It's very easy. You just search Central Indiana Today. You can download the show right to your smartphone or tablet. You can also listen online anytime at wirz.org. Podcast is always presented by McDonald's. Until next time, I'm Rob Kendall saying have yourself a great evening.